This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. The economies of small towns are becoming less dependent on agriculture and more dependent on service and retail jobs. So imagine the opportunity in the Mississippi River town of Nauvoo, Illinois, which is now attracting 1 million visitors a year. These aren't typical tourists, they're religious pilgrims, and that has some people in the town of 1,000 feeling suspicious and overwhelmed. NPR's Howard Berkus reports.
Just after dawn, behind a brick motel in Nauvoo, Illinois, about 55 people pile into a tour bus.
Morning, girls. Morning. How are we doing?
Good, good.
Great.
These are members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and Nauvoo is the place their Mormon ancestors were driven from 160 years ago.
Well, this morning, folks, we're going to follow a little bit in the footsteps of the saints as they left.
Tour guide Brian Judd recites the Nauvoo story as the tour bus glides past Main Street stores and a gray limestone Mormon temple. The modern Nauvoo sits on a bluff overlooking the Mississippi River and a green pastoral plain called the Flats. That's where a Mormon city of 10,000 once stood. Now there are scattered red brick replicas of old Nauvoo homes and shops. They and the temple attract 1 million Mormons a year now from all over the world.
All right, let's go.
Oh, it's like coming back and reliving what my ancestors might have gone through or seen.
Mary Ann Hall tearfully traces the path her great-great-grandfather took as mobs drove Mormons from Nauvoo.
Mostly I think about how much faith they must have had and how much willpower they had to endure what they went through.
Back at the bus, tour guide Brian Judd has this simple explanation for the Mormon attraction to this small Illinois town.
You know, Muslims have Mecca, and folks of the Roman Catholic Church will go over to the Vatican, and Mormons have Nauvoo.
Nauvoo was a Mormon Zion, a gathering place for converts, and the site of the new religion's first fully functional sacred temple. The city was also a theocracy. Church founder Joseph Smith was mayor, chief judge, and commander of his own militia. Smith embraced polygamy and did not tolerate dissent. That made Nauvoo a target, says John Hallwas, a professor at Western Illinois University who wrote a history of the era.
There was a clash of cultures, a clash of ideologies, and local non-Mormons were part of a Jacksonian America committed to things that Mormon Nauvoo was not. Egalitarianism, for example, and real democracy in which there's not only no influence of the government upon the church, there's no influence of the church upon the government. And so they were committed to that ideology, which is, of course, flatly opposed to the Mormon ideology. So there was bound to be conflict.
An anti-Mormon mob killed Joseph Smith in 1844. Arsonists torched the temple 2 years later. Brigham Young became the Mormon Moses, leading his flock westward to Utah. Nauvoo was a Mormon city for just 7 years, but conflict lingered far longer. That's recalled in Neff's Old House Bookstore on Main Street, where the musty smell of bound and printed history mingles with the long memory of owner Estelle Neff. Picture a long and thick white beard, a sliver of a ponytail, and thick glasses. Neff is a recent Mormon convert who discovered lingering conflict when he learned he was related to Joseph Smith.
My parents did not tell me that I was a descendant of the Smith family until I was probably 13 or 14, because they didn't want to subject us kids to the ridicule we'd taken to school, people calling us names and making fun of us and so forth. Because all the antis always talked about the Mormons and how bad they were. They were cattle thieves and horse thieves and just bad people.
Today, Neff says most in Nauvoo are happy with the business Mormons bring. Real estate prices are at record highs, Main Street storefronts are full, and restaurants, motels, and bed and breakfasts are busy. Still, 1 million visitors a year will change any town of 1,000. Locals complain about the buses and traffic and all the strangers in town. There's tension, Neff says, over who belongs in Nauvoo.
Most of these people come here because this is where their ancestors got chased out. They walked out and left their homes here, the furniture in them and everything, and somebody just moved in and started living in it. So they have a feeling here that they do own part of this town.
Some Mormons have moved to Nauvoo, and about 400 elderly missionaries work at the historic sites for up to 2 years. That's 40% of the town, notes Joan Kraft, a former member of the Nauvoo City Council.
You know, the neighborhoods are filling up more and more with Mormons, and I look for it, the council, to be predominantly Mormon at some point. I just believe that there is a plan, and I don't believe the local people are part of that plan.
You know, if you substituted another group for Mormon and you were saying some of these things, people would accuse you of being a bigot.
I know that. I do know that. But I just think, I don't know, they're smiling at us like, you know, we're going to have this someday, and you aren't. The only history we care about is ours, and that's the bottom line.
There's plenty of non-Mormon history in Nauvoo. Swiss and German Catholic settlers, a French communal group called Icarians, hundreds of acres of vineyards, dozens of stone wine cellars, and even award-winning blue cheese. Some of that history was symbolized by an old Icarian community hall, built with stone from the Mormon temple, used later as a Catholic school, and then bulldozed to make way for a Mormon visitor center. That was 30 years ago, but it still bothers Jim Moffitt, a retired businessman and Nauvoo booster.
I tried to get an injunction to stop it, but I was too late. Like I've told people that would be upset about certain things taking place, it's their money. You know they're going to do what they want. We aren't going to stop it. You live and let live.
Moffitt worries now about Mormon-non-Mormon tension and what that does to small-town life.
It'll probably always coexist instead of really living together. And that makes a poor marriage.
The tension and fears puzzle Mormon officials, who say most people in town seem to accept them. Sam Park is the Mormon mission president in Nauvoo.
Are we insensitive to others as it relates to their history? I don't think so. We may miss once in a while. Are we trying to take over, bully our way into position? Are we trying to politically posture ourselves? I can tell you from my standpoint where I sit, the answer is no. Are we available for consultation on civic things? Do they ask for our input? Often.
Nauvoo also seeks and receives help. The church has provided a city planner for the town, $400,000 to respond to growth, and a promise to pay taxes on most tax-exempt property. Some add Nauvoo's future to the list. John McCarty sits on the city council.
I've got too many areas around here I could take you to right now within 20 miles, and you drive down there and you see boarded up storefronts and every other house basically falling down because nobody's lived in it for 20 years. I mean, I don't want to ever see Nauvoo be a dead town, and it won't now, I know, because these groups of people are going to keep coming in and keep the town alive.
The tour bus is gone, but footprints remain in the mud and gravel where old Nauvoo, Illinois meets the Mississippi River. This is where the Mormon Exodus began. It produced an anthem for the faith, which seems relevant today to both Mormons and non-Mormons in Nauvoo. It has these words, "We'll find the place which God for us prepared, where none shall come to hurt or make afraid. All is well, all is well." Howard Berkus, NPR News.
Pictures of Nauvoo are at npr.org.